This is Travel Sleep Repeat,
a travel podcast that shares experiences.
We'll hear from people all over the world that share the same passion for travel while providing insight, trading stories, and knowledge on different places we've been and all things that we've seen.
Recorded in the UK and Canada with a new episode every Monday.
Hi, Ant. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Sun is shining and I'm over my jet lag.
The weather is terrible here. It's so cold, so dark, so windy, all of the above. I don't know if it's made kind of international news, but we have some major flooding kind of not too far away from us, and it's turned into like a national emergency.
I haven't heard that, but then again, I haven't been really watching the news. But no, the sun is shining today. It's not Bali, that's for sure, but it'll do.
No. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing all about Bali. Some of your content on Instagram, my God, those breakfast bowls. I think I messaged you about them, didn't I?
I would go. I've been trying to recreate them and they've just been so gross. I'm like, if somebody can see what I've been doing, I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm like dumping granola on top, trying to make it it's just not
putting it on top.
Yes, I'm telling you, that is
swirling the fruit Kool-Aid side.
It's just gross. I'm like Googling, like, where do I get acai berries in town? Like, they don't even exist. They don't even exist here. Oh, what a dream. Seriously, I would go back to Bali just for the smoothie bowls. And I know that might sound crazy, but I can promise you there's other people that would say the same thing. They're like,
I were more jealous about the smoothie bowls, I think, than I was of the I know there was some airtime on your Instagram feed.
Yeah, I was like, are people annoyed at these? I'm like, I don't care. They're the highlight of my day. Yeah. But wow, what a trip. Amazing, incredible. And
Before we get started, I just want to apologize now that I do have a bad cough and I will try to mute it in anticipation for a cough, but I may miss one.
No worries. It's like, just to talk about some of our other podcasts before we get right into Bali, is I did listen to, I hadn't listened to the ones we recorded about the last Europe trip. And I think I had mentioned to you, like, you can totally hear my dog puking through that whole one. And I'm like, oh my God, we need to figure out how to edit that. But anyways, it's real life. We're in our own home.
I think it adds something to it. It's real life.
Yeah. Like, there's things going on around us. It is what it is. It's not perfect, but no worries.
I was laughing at that episode because I just remember you saying, oh my God, my dog's just been sick.
And then I was like, can you hear anything? And you're like, no. And then I was like, and then when I'm listening to it, I'm like, Anne, have you listened to this yet? All you can hear is my dog. Anyways, that's okay.
We should do like a best bits or a bloopers. That's what it's called, isn't it? A bloopers reel of all these bits that we actually out of the episode.
That's happening. Anyway, but
today is all about you, your trip, and Bali. But why don't we start off by talking about where it all came from, because it was quite sporadic, wasn't it? It was quite spontaneous. You just messaged me, said I need to call you, and then when we spoke he was like, I'm going to Bali. And I remember me asking, oh, when are you going, thinking I'm going in the new year, or I'm going there, here, or then in a few months time. It was like Sunday.
Yeah, I know, it was really great. You know, honestly, it just all came together so perfectly. And I'm really excited about this episode, I think, because I just think it's just wonderful. So I've been really wanting to go to Bali. It's been really high on my list. And I think everyone kind of knows that. When I know I've even mentioned it in past episodes, like, oh, I want to go to Bali. But from where I am, it is so freaking far. I don't think you could go further. And so it's a big feat to go over to Asia. And also, it's like, I've already done 3 trips this year. So I'm kind of trying to just slow down on the travel and focus on things in the home front. And I had a really, I just hate throwing that around, but really stressful work summer. Like, it's just been really crazy with work, and I've kind of lost myself a little bit. Like, I have not been taking care of myself spiritually and physically, and a lot of that part of me is what I really love, and I noticed it's just that lingering anxiety is kind of coming back. I'm not taking that time to kind of connect with myself, and so I always live like total to the extreme. So I was like, I need to go get Zen. So I'm just going to go to Bali. Like, I know to some people that might sound crazy, but I'm like, that is one thing that I just have always really wanted to do. I found a really good pocket of time with work as it slowly started to slow down. And I noticed, I'm like, okay, if I'm going to go away, now is a really good time to go away, because I can never predict with real estate when I'm going to be busy. And so quite often I'll book a trip and then I'll get super busy, and the whole time I'm away, I'm just not present. I'm stressed the whole time. I'm worried about my clients. And this time I promised myself, you earned it. Go unwind. Don't worry about work. It'll be totally fine. You're slow. Brett's got it. My business partner, my teammate. Yeah. And so it just really could not have been better timing for me. It was perfect. And so I was looking at flights, and I was trying, like, well, first I was looking at flights for December, and then I was thinking, oh, what if it gets busy in December? And then I just found it was way cheaper to go, like, last minute. And I kind of looked at my calendar and I asked my boyfriend, because obviously I would love for him to have gone, but I knew that this was more so a solo adventure. And that's kind of what was calling for me, was I needed to go and just spend some time with myself and do very Courtney-ish things, like, you know, meditate, the very spiritual aspect of it all. And Lars probably not really into going and doing yoga and drinking smoothie bowls for 2 weeks. So I really felt like this was the one place that I really wanted to go by myself. So I asked him a bunch of times and he's just supportive, and he, I think he just thinks, whatever, like, you're crazy, like everybody else. So I just booked it, and I had, it was 4 days and I didn't have time to overthink or overplan. So I just kind of winged it and it was absolutely perfect. So
my next question, actually, where did you go to one, you know, book your flights and accommodation, and two, where did you go to look for things to do? Because obviously your purpose in going to Bali was, some may say, would be quite specific. You know, you were going for a particular reason. How do you find what to do for that particular need?
Well, I know that I always say it wrong, Ubud or Ubud, Ubud. I know that it's basically one of, like, the spiritual capital of the world. Like, all new age hippies all flock to Ubud. It's supposed to have, you know, some sort of essence about it that is just pure magic. You hear it all the time. And so I knew that was top of my list. And so I guess what I'll talk about today is a bit of my itinerary, because I think it was quite perfect for that average traveler, that solo person, or even a couple to do. And it's kind of the areas that most people, if they're just want a taste of Bali or going for the first time, it's what a lot of them do. So
I guess you all, it'd be really good to hear, actually, because with you only going for 4 days, was it? It was almost like a city break, wasn't it? You know, you crammed in quite a lot of what you wanted to do, and you knew what you wanted to get out of it. And I guess what we've probably touched on before on previous episodes is giving those hints and tips of, if you're only in a place for a short amount of time, this is what you need to be doing. So it'd be good to hear those things about Bali.
Yeah, and you know, I definitely know that there's a lot of places that I go to, and when I'm there, I'm like, hey, been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
Yeah.
I'm like, but here, the whole time I was in Bali, I was thinking to myself, I can't wait to come back. Like, I will be back. I will be back as soon as I can. It will be that place that I continually go back to over time. And so I knew that when I was there, so I wasn't letting myself be like, oh, I wish I had more time. I just felt, okay, now I confirmed what I thought. I love it here. So I did. So what I booked it on was, I always use Skyscanner. I think that's my number one thing to go to. And I always use that to find the cheapest flights. but I actually booked my flights on my credit card because I had so many air miles. And so what I do is I always use Skyscanner as a baseline just to know that that's what the flight could be. And then I try to find something similar with the rewards that I get on my credit card. So I ended up getting super cheap flight. Like I only paid out of pocket around $700 and some, but normally that flight from Canada would be probably closer to $1,500 because it's quite far. I had to fly from Calgary to Vancouver to Hong Kong, then down to Denpasar, which is the main airport in Bali. And it was a grind. I mean, you got to just put your head down and go because it's so many flights. That the flight from Vancouver to Hong Kong alone is 14 hours. And then by the time you get to Hong Kong, then it's about 5 to 6 hours down to Bali. So that alone is treacherous, that flight. And then when you get to Bali, I think that's the part. I was really smart on this trip. I'm really proud of myself. I know that after having done some of these super long haul flights, I still haven't figured out a way to manipulate them because I just think they're awful. I do, you know, a lot of people take sleeping pills or they take like a Valium or an anxiety medication or something like that just because on that 14-hour flight, you just need to sleep. And I did, but the problem is when you take these long haul flights, to me, I've noticed it's when you arrive, that flutter of emotion is almost so extreme because you're so tired, you're so overwhelmed. And I think you can agree with me on this, is that Asia has the most extreme sensory overload out of anywhere.
Yeah.
So you almost feel like you're
that, and Vegas. Yeah.
Well, yeah. But you know, Vegas for sure. Ding, 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 like crazy. But for me, it's 2 hours to fly to Vegas. But so when I got to Bali, I knew the first place I wanted to go to was Ubud. I know a few people were saying, oh, you should go here, you should go there first. I was like, no, that's where I want to be. Get me there. So I had booked a hotel at this place called the Loka, and I got a free night there just because, again, I use my hotels.com rewards. So they're just like some little traveler hacks that I have. You know, you can start building up hotels. Every 10th hotel is free. So I knew that was my 10th hotel, so I'm going to utilize it. So I booked a night there at the Loka because I really wanted to do this trip on a budget, which is so easy to do because Asia is super cheap. I found Bali to be really, really inexpensive. So I splurged on the very first night, which might seem weird. Maybe you should have splurged more so in the middle of your holiday, but I was like, no, I want to get there and I want to be comfortable. I don't want to be down some weird back road in a tuk-tuk somewhere on a scooter trying to find my hotel just to save $20 a night, which I've done in the past, you know? So yeah. I was like, I want a nice hotel. And I mean, oh my gosh, it was incredible. And so by the time I got there, I just had a nice shower. I went straight to bed and then I woke up in paradise. So I really, really enjoyed that hotel. I would look into it for people that want something just outside of Ubud it's a bit crazy in the town center there, but it's right in the middle of nature. Oh my God. There's just no words. It was just
perfect. They're not that expensive, the hotels, are they?
No, so here's the thing. That hotel was about $100 a night. It was really nice. So that's
$1,000.
Yeah, so what's that, 50 pounds? I always cut you guys just kind of in half, 50, okay. 60, yeah. So for Indonesia or for Bali, I found $20 increments went so far. And that's the funny part is that, you know, if you're just a younger person in your early 20s and you're backpacking, you could easily stay in really clean hostels for $10 to $20 a night that were super fun spaces, even maybe with AC and a pool. There was really good options for hostels and homestays everywhere. But I was choosing to spend because I didn't want to go on this trip and like spend tons of money on nice accommodation because I'm pretty low key when I'm by myself. I would rather save that spending for when I'm with my boyfriend or, you know, a friend. So my goal was to spend $50 a night. And so this place spending $100 was only the first night that I did that. I also wanted to make sure as I'm getting older, and maybe it's part of my mom drilling into me, safety first. I always want to make sure that the person that's picking me up at the airport in Asia is legit. So by booking that really good hotel, in turn, they also had an airport transfer, like things like that. you really have to pay attention to and make sure you're mindful about when you get into somewhere crazy like Asia, because you're so overwhelmed. Even the most seasoned traveler, you're just overwhelmed. You're done. You're like, oh my gosh. And so you can start making stupid mistakes and you might jump into the wrong cab.
And where did you find your hotel then? And what would you recommend for people looking for hotels in Bali, as in what would you say to look out for?
The main resources. So I always switch between booking.com, hotels.com, and Airbnb. Mm-hmm. And in this case, I had booked, because I mentioned this was a hotels.com hotel that I found and I booked and I loved it and everything was totally good there. But I actually ended up using Airbnb for my three villas that I stayed at the three areas that I traveled to. I just found that they had the best value. And it was more what I was looking for. I wanted to stay more in a local, not homestay, but in a local villa-esque type of Airbnb. I didn't necessarily want like a hotel. And I feel like I did pretty good. I didn't spend more than $50 a night on some of these hotel or these villas. And they all had a pool. They were all super clean. They were all within really good distance to the town centers or the hot spots in the areas that I traveled to. So I feel Airbnb for me in this case seemed to be like the best option. And I didn't have anything booked until I got there. I had the first night hotel booked, which obviously for some people that's not, they don't like work like that. But I did have enough research done just by Googling and searching to know that there was plenty of options. So
yeah, I think that's probably important to shout out there, that doing research and putting the time in to get what you are actually looking for, I would highly recommend not rushing to book something just because it looks good or the price is good. Shop around, look on, like you said, hotels.com, booking.com, Airbnb, and make sure you're getting what you want out of it. Airbnbs offer so much of a different experience than what a hotel or a hostel would have.
Definitely. And I always book Superhosts. I know it's kind of sad for the newbies on Airbnb, but I can't be bothered to test the waters, especially when you're in Asia. So I made sure I always booked places that had really great reviews and a super host. And I am a review freak. Like, I'm constantly looking at people's reviews and I always know which ones to take with a grain of salt. I think I booked my first three nights in Ubud. I think that I booked them when I was in the Hong Kong airport. But again, before you go, do your research. Make sure that you do have plenty of options. Don't book too far ahead, because if you end up doing that, then you might not have a good cancellation policy on some of your hotels, and then you might be stuck somewhere where you don't really want to be. So I kind of think I did it every two or three days. I was looking ahead as to where I knew I kind of wanted to be. So I booked the first night, Ubud, went there, woke up in the jungle. I mean, you probably saw some of my Instagram stories. I walked down and there was this, it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. Nobody was awake. And there was this yoga platform over top of the river valley. And oh my God, I don't think I've ever seen anything so beautiful. It was just incredible. And the whole time I was there, I kept thinking, I couldn't be stressed out if I tried. Like, you literally could tell me anything and I was just at ease. It was magical. I just felt there was something in the air and I'm not crazy. It was just amazing. So then I spent the morning in the pool and I had a nice breakfast, and then I ended up going over to I got the driver at the hotel to bring me to my villa in Ubud. And of course the Airbnb host was local. He was just awesome. He ended up being my driver for a couple of days as well. He left a whole thing of what to do, where to go, hot spots, restaurants to eat at. So besides looking on, Instagram or Pinterest or Googling TripAdvisor where to go, what to do, a lot of these Airbnb hosts will leave behind lists of what to do, and they're super receptive to answer all your questions, because that's their job. That's their living. That's what they're doing. And So I think that's another beauty of staying at an Airbnb is they give you a little bit more of like the local insight compared to staying in a hotel.
Yeah. And you just touched on it with usually in, certainly in Asia, my experience of the drivers around Asia is that they're so knowledgeable. You know, if you've got a question about the local area, ask your driver, you know, whether that's driving from the airport as soon as you arrive at your destination, or whether you get friendly with the driver and they end up, you know, being your private chauffeur for your entire stay. Get friendly with them, ask them some questions about the local area, what most people do when they arrive, you know, and what they would recommend. And it seems like you've done that both with your driver and with your Airbnb host.
Yeah, I knew that. That is definitely a big tip, is do not underestimate the value of having your Airbnb host show you around or be your host or your driver again, because that's their goal is to make a little bit of extra money on top of your stay. And they do that by being your driver, because it's chaotic. You can rent a scooter and easily, but I mean, that's dangerous enough for me. So just having him drive me around and show me what places he thought was best. Like I said, I need a driver. I need to go to I can't say it properly, but it's the most famous rice fields outside of Ubud in the morning. And then he said, what else do you want to do? Like, what else do you want to see? And then I just responded and I said, just show me all the best stuff. And I was with him for like 7 or 8 hours and it was awesome. And they stop, they wait for you. And I think,
how much do you think you spent on taxis?
Not too much. That full day, which was, I think it was just about, it was like 7 or 8 hours, was $40.
Yeah, like, incredible, isn't it? I knew you
were like, so really cheap. Yeah, like really cheap. And
you basically had a private tour, haven't you?
Totally. 100%. Yeah. And like, I mean, stop and wait. And even like, I just stop and get a smoothie bowl to go, because I was just crazy. It was part of my routine and I needed a smoothie bowl that morning, because otherwise I'd be thinking about it all day. So I went to my favorite place and then they didn't give me a spoon. So I actually got to stop at his house, which I'll get into that. And his mom came out and gave me a spoon and I was just like, I just felt so in the flow. Like, oh my gosh, it was just wonderful. And before I talk a little bit more about my itinerary and things to do, I just want to mention a few things. Balinese people have to be the nicest people I have ever been around. They're so warm and kind and friendly, and they're so smiley. I just could go on. There, just wonderful. I didn't meet one Balinese person that rubbed me the wrong way, honestly. And I think there's a lot of comparison between Bali and Thailand, because those are the two maybe a bit similar type of tourist destinations, like the popular ones that people go to. And I find people in Thailand also are super friendly. You know, it's that Buddhist culture there, but Balinese people take the cake all day long. I mean, they're just the best. You just feel super safe there and really welcomed. And the spirituality and the Hinduism in Bali is so, they take it so serious. And I know you probably saw, I wish I should have wrote down the word of what they're called, but those little offerings, they leave those out every single day, no matter what. It's part of their daily routine. The women have to wear like a special dress to do it. So you see, you know, all women everywhere, every day, with their little like leaves with flowers. They have some food in them, some incense, and they leave them outside their doorstep or on the beach, or they're always giving thanks or asking the god or giving praise to the gods. And they really genuinely mean it. Like, they take it so serious. And so I learned a lot about that when I was with my driver, and I was like, I just love it. You're just walking down the streets and they're littered with these offerings and they're bright colors and the incense, you can just smell it as you're walking, and you see the women doing like the ritual, and they just take it so serious. And how can you just not love that? All they're doing is giving thanks and praying for things like world peace. And you see them in the funniest places, like, you know, even on the beach and in random places, and you're like, why are they here? Well, so, oh, they're just thanking the water gods or whatever. But that part of it, I couldn't get enough of. I just loved it. And I didn't know that that Bali was actually, I knew Bali was Hindu, but I didn't realize, this is you know, stupid on my behalf that Indonesia was mainly Muslim. So did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So that's the big difference between Bali, because Indonesia is made up of like thousands of islands, but Bali is one of the most popular island, and it's actually Hindu compared to the rest that are Muslim. Right. So that's super interesting. And in religion in some of these countries is, it's everything. It's not just what they do on Sunday mornings. It is their life all day long. And so you have to be mindful about that going in and kind of maybe Googling or researching what is the local religion, because I didn't realize. I went over to the Gili Islands. I went over to one, which I'll talk about, and they're Muslim there. So it was totally different. You know, everything about it, the people and everything, it was a completely different scene, because they dressed differently, they prayed differently, and it was only an hour boat ride away. So I thought that was actually pretty fascinating, and a lot of people be like, duh, how did you not know that? Well, I didn't. So yeah, food for thought. But anyways, yeah, the driver was really good. He showed me around.
Did you feel safe?
Yeah, I never didn't feel safe. And there's a sense of awareness that you have when you're in Bali. I feel like you just are so lit up. People will say that. I'm not going to be the only one. I tell you, there's just something in the air. So you feel safe. You feel really aware. Like, I just felt like it was just, I felt like when I was walking, I was meditating. It was just so good. And so things to do in around Ubud is obviously go down to, you can, if you're staying there, a lot of people will stay all around the town center. It's in the jungle. It's not on the coast. So to be a place that is that popular and that seeked out and sought out by travelers, and to not be on the coast, is actually pretty amazing, because people go to these countries for the beaches and for the ocean, don't they? So it's just so lush, so green in the jungle. Everywhere you look, it's almost like emerald. It's just gorgeous. So all around Ubud, you've got tons of really cool shops and shopping. And there's the monkey forest, which I hated. Actually, I see your friends were there today. I was following them on Instagram.
Yeah, they like on their honeymoon.
Yeah, I don't like the monkey forest. Is one of the top things to do there. I found the monkeys to be awful. They were super aggressive, jumping on people, trying to steal your phones. And I think it's maybe one of those things you can check off your list. But honestly, I hated it. I left early. That was one of my pits of the vacation. I did not like being there. But people go. And you can seek out healers, which I did. I went to one. I did some yoga. One of the most popular yoga places in Ubud is called the Yoga Barn. So if you are going there, I would highly recommend checking that place out. It's incredible. There's all sorts of people there, from astrology readers, tarot readers, healers, yoga. It's like a big hostel type of area as well. It's incredible. Lots of vegan food, because the spirituality is so, so major in Bali that there's such a vegan culture, which I am not vegan, but I was 100% vegan the whole time I was in Bali, the whole time. I get really funny with meat when I travel. I've always been kind of a picky eater since I was a little kid. So for picky eaters, to go to Bali, you could not be in a better place, because the healthy food and the options are so endless. You will never run out of like good places to eat. And it's a big deal, because when I was in Porto in the spring, I couldn't find anything to eat anywhere. And that's in Europe. So
it's we have to get onto the smoothie bowls now. So yeah. Talk to us about them, what they're made of, why they look so beautiful.
Well, they are. I know. It is absolutely incredible. Every superfood you can imagine, and every color. And it's almost a competition of who could make the nicest one. And
well, it's an art, isn't it? Clearly.
Yes, it is. This is no joke. And even if you Google like things to do in Bali and you go through photos, you'll see pictures of smoothie bowls. Like, it's a thing, but they just decorate them so beautifully. Like, they come out with flowers and all sorts of plants in them, and, you know, the nicest, best granolas and goji berries. And I don't even know what was on half of them. And one of them I got was bright blue, because it was blue spirulina or dragon fruit, which is like fuchsia pink. And I'm, oh my gosh, all day long, just incredible. And obviously, you know, Indonesia, there's such good options for food. But for me, that was just the best part. So good. And
just whilst you were explaining then, I just quickly went on Pinterest and put in Bali smoothie bowls. And oh my God, my phone just lit up in color. And I'm like,
it's so good. And I had, you know, I always would have avocado toast, and they've nailed that. They're so far ahead of us when it comes to wellness and health. And I mean, I just want to say shame on us, our Western culture. We're just behind. I'm telling you, they just got it figured out. You go to these little hole in the wall places like homestay-ish type restaurants where they have their whole compound or their family homes in the back, and the front, they do whatever they can to make money. So if that means it's a store or a little restaurant, and I'm mindful. I always go to ones that look clean. And they have the best food. It's so healthy, and their menus are so advanced. And I'm thinking, why can't we do this? I mean, we just don't have it figured out yet.
What do you mean by advanced?
Just like for avocado toast with, I can't even explain to you like the ingredients in it, but stuff that was just, it would be, for me, avocado toast, piece of bread, and you smash avocado on it and eat it. But there, it's like seven things piled up, and it's just the presentation. And I mean, trust me, the menus are amazing. And yeah, so that part was just, I absolutely loved that part as well, because I just never felt panicky about food. And so people that are picky or they're worried about, oh, I don't want to go to Asia, what will I eat, will I get sick, they call it Bali belly. A lot of people will get, you know, diarrhea from eating stuff. I was like, I'm only here for less than 2 weeks, I'm not getting sick, which I did. That's another story. But yeah, so that was one of my highlights too. But Ubud's just lit. There's so many temples everywhere, and it was really interesting because when you walk down the side streets, that was one of the things I noticed was, holy crap, it seemed like there was temple after temple after temple. So I asked my driver, I said, why is there so many temples on the street? Like, it's insane. It's actually, that was the front entrance to a family compound. So they're obviously, you know, a lot of these countries, they put all their money into their spirituality and their religion and, you know, building up these temples and karma, right? That's what it's all about, the gods. So every compound, as they call it, which was be family home, the front entrance looks like a temple. So you'll have like the two gods and all the decorations all around them. And then once you enter that, then you're in the home. And I was, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that was essentially people's front doors. Okay. And so he said, you can always tell if people are, you know, poor, middle class, rich, by the state of their family temple, like their front door-ish. And so that's where they are decorating the gods with the flowers and doing the offerings. And that's where you all the time you see the women. And so in Bali, like a lot of these similar cultures, you stay at home and you follow the man. So my driver's name was Putu. In his family home, it was his father and his uncle, and then their three kids and their three kids. So he was living with two of his cousins and then his brother and a couple of the kids. There's 20 people living in his compound. Right. And they all have like their own room. But I mean, it's not fancy. Trust me, the temple is way nicer. The front door is way nicer than what you're seeing behind it. But they're just really happy. And he thought it was unbelievable that I was traveling by myself. And he asked me, how did I get permission from my father and my boyfriend to go? And I just laughed because, you know, I say that they're so far ahead, but really, you know, they're not. That's their way of life. It's really all about family, connection, community. But that part of the whole thing, you know, you laugh because he said his dream growing up was to marry or to end up with a Westerner. And I said, yeah, well, your Westerner's not going to follow you to your dad's house and live with your uncle and take orders from your dad, you know. But to him, he just thought it was crazy that my dad gave me permission to go, even as a 35-year-old woman. And I said, I don't even think my dad knows I'm here. Like, my mom probably told him. just, you know, that kind of stuff. You get these really interesting nuggets from your driver and or from the locals, and you talk to them about their culture, and you kind of make fun of each other a little bit and just have like a really good conversation. So that day that we went out driving, that was I learned a lot about a Balinese culture that I would have never learned just from Googling. And also I went to the Bali Swing, which is a big tourist trap, and I wouldn't recommend anyone going to that because I think it's super expensive. It cost me more money to do that swing than for him to drive me around all day, and it was just for one photo. And the thing is about Bali is you see a lot of these pictures. People, everything is about Instagram and getting the photo, we know that. So you see all these photos of people on these swings, and they've made a huge market out of it. So you go and you spend this money on this swing, and it's so fake, it's so set up, it's not fun. And it was 35 USD, so that's well over 40 Canadian dollars. And I noticed when I went to the rice fields and I went to a couple other areas around Bali, they have swings everywhere where you can get just as good of a photo.
Yeah,
so long story short, avoid it. Don't go. Don't give that crazy whoever bought that land and is making a killing, don't give them any money. Give that extra 35 USD to your driver, and he can go show you a swing somewhere that he knows is for free. So that, I don't know, I feel I got ripped off, and I was really annoyed about that, and I don't know why, it peeved me off. But yeah, so that's what I kind of did around Ubud, is I just took it all in. I did, again, lots of meditating and yoga and exploring and eating and just being really present, and just absolutely loved it. There's tons of hiking to do around there. You can rent a bike and drive. You don't want to really rent a bike in the town center, but there's an endless amount of things to do for anybody that wants to dip their toes into the spirituality side of things, or even just go for a romantic getaway. It's perfect place. I'm rambling on. Do you have any questions?
Sounds like you had an amazing time. One question that does spring to mind is, what the hell did you pack? You know, what sort of clothes did you pack? You know, what sort of, you know, toiletries, any special things that you took with you just because you knew where you were going in Bali?
Yeah, so I brought just beach clothes. I brought, you know, two bathing suits and summer dresses. And very, very minimal makeup. Actually did not put makeup on once the whole time I was there. Sunscreen because it's so hot. Mosquito spray for bugs, but I didn't wear that ever, and I didn't even see any bugs. And I didn't bring any hair. I'm pretty low maintenance, especially when I'm alone. I don't even really look in the mirror. And I did. If that's for a woman, that's the best part, I think. One of the best parts about Asia. You just don't even bother. Like, there's no sense. You know what it's like. It's so hot, so humid. You're not putting on makeup.
Well, so, you just kind of touched on it there a little bit. So with you obviously being a woman, were there any religious times where you needed to dress in a particular way? You know, if you were going to any of the temples or in people's homes, did the women in Bali dress a certain way, and were you expected to dress similar?
Yeah, that's a good point. I left that out. That was another thing that we did when I was with Putu, when I got him to drive me all around, as we went to some pretty iconic temples. And I'm so sorry, I don't know the names of them, but if you just were to Google the best or the most popular beautiful temple, they will come up. You have to wear like special dress when you go into these temples. You can't have, you know, your legs or your shoulders or whatnot showing. So I just had like a long dress on. And to go into these temples, it's super minimal. It's only like $1, $2 donation. And you have to wear like local dress. So they do have, like, they're almost like scarves that you can wrap around your waist at all these temples for you to put on. It's just a matter of respect. So if you're not already wearing something similar, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
what was it called? Sarong. If you're not already wearing that as a, for a woman, then they will have them there. But if not, trust me, there is vendors all around, you know, the typical begging you to buy, you know, their sarongs or their scarves and stuff outside these temples. So yes, you have to wear a traditional dress when you go into them. And they do have quite a bit of rules, actually. I went into the one temple, and sorry, I should have the name, but I actually went into the Healing Waters and bathed in there. And I mean, it probably wasn't that clean, but I'm like, when in Rome, I'm taking advantage of everything. And the locals will go there and they'll bath in these waters. They'll actually use them as their bathtub because they believe that, that's where something really bad happens to you, get in a car accident or something happens with, you know, your health. You go and you bath in these waters and it's supposed to cure you. Yeah. Also, women aren't allowed to go or step foot into the temples if they're on their period. And it was funny because when we were driving there, he asked me if I was. He said, are you menstruating? And I said, no. And he said, okay, good, because I can't take you if you are. And I said, well, how are you going to know? Like, really? He goes, no. He says, you cannot go in that temple if you are. He said, that would be the worst karma, because it's considered uncleanly and dirty. So if I were to go in there, he said, bad things would happen to you. And I just, oh my God.
Well, that's not what you're there for, is it? You're not there for.
No, so I was like, well, good thing I'm not, because I don't want, you know, something bad to happen to me. But he's very serious about it, right? And funny how you don't mention, like, that's like a swear word in some cultures, saying
that
to there.
Don't you?
Yeah, you have to be mindful about that. And they definitely have a list of rules, like what you can and can't do. And you just, and any, most people that are going to Bali and going to a temple aren't, you know, idiots. They know that you're going into something that's quite special and sacred. But definitely when you go to this country, make sure that you visit as many of these places as you can, because they really are the epitome of it. Like, it's the heart of, in the heart of Bali, some of the most incredible, just beyond everything that I love, all in one place. So that was really good about you, bud. And then I didn't go to Bali to go to the beach. I didn't want, like, I know, weird, right? I went for the whole, you know, woo-woo part of it, and just to get quite zen. And for me, I didn't want to go lay on the beach and do that. But everybody kept messaging me while I was there on Instagram. Everybody that messaged me that has been to Bali said, oh my gosh, Courtney, I'm so jealous that you're there. I absolutely loved it. Or people saying, I am here. Where are you? You know, all your traveler friends. Everybody's always watching what everybody's doing. And then the second you start traveling, everybody has their two cents to give, which just naturally happens. And so I had probably, I'm not exaggerating, 10 people message me and say, you have to go to the Gili Islands. And obviously I knew that they were a huge part about Indonesia and really beautiful. And so I went, because I thought, well, I'm already here. But for some reason, I wasn't being called to go there. And I know that they're beautiful islands, but I was just kind of, oh, I don't know why I'm not super keen to go. I'm happy that I went, but totally different than Bali. It's in order to get to these islands, which are, there's just so beautiful. You take a shuttle from Ubud or the west coast of Bali across the island, which isn't that big. It might take an hour to 2 hours to get to the east coast, where you get on a fast boat. Do not cheap out, no matter what you do. I don't care if you're going to spend any money. Do not cheap out on that boat, because I got the most expensive boat, and it cost me to get all the way from Ubud across the island onto the fast boat to the Gilis. I think it cost me, and return back all the way across to the west coast, it was like $55, which is so cheap. But anyway, don't cheap out. Get the fast boat. The water, it was so bad the waves were so high. I got so seasick on my way there. I thought, oh my gosh, and this is the best boat. Like, it was a massive boat. They're called fast boats. And oh my gosh, it was awful. I got so seasick. So by the time I got to the island, I was just like, oh my God, get me off this boat. Quite beautiful. Mm-hmm. They had really bad earthquakes last year. So about 75% of the entire, there's three main islands. They're devastated from these earthquakes. You definitely get that really authentic deserted island feel. Again, right away, didn't realize that it was Muslim on these islands because they're not part of Bali. They're part of Lombok, another really good island to visit in Bali, or sorry, in Indonesia. And so the women were dressed head to toe and how do you say hijabs? God, I sound stupid. Hijab, don't even yeah. Hijab, full dress, can't show any skin. And then there are signs up that say, like, no bikinis in the town centers, keep your bikinis and bathing suits on the beaches.
Yeah.
No vehicles on these islands, so everything is horse and these little buggies. Totally different vibe all day long. And I was like, holy crap, you're not in Kansas anymore. Very, very beautiful. I went to Gili Air, which is more quiet than Gili T. There's another one that's a little bit more buzzier. And my villa, again, was $40 a night. Beautiful. I had my own private pool. Really clean. But it was super, super, like, a great place. Really romantic for people on a honeymoon. Really great place to slow down, watch the sunset. But for me, I didn't go for that. So I was like, oh, I kind of wanted to go back to Bali because I went for that whole Bali vibe. And I'm happy that I went. But there was a lot of things I didn't expect. Again, I didn't expect the call to prayer to start at 4 o'clock in the morning, which is something everyone needs to be really mindful about, because I didn't read that on any, I didn't read that. Nobody put that into any of the reviews. And it's beautiful, and I know that it's a sacred thing, but at 4 o'clock in the morning, it is blaring on every loudspeaker across the entire island, and it goes on all day. It starts at four, you know, five times a day. Sometimes it's more than that. So, wow, it was a good experience for me, to say the least. And I'm like, wow, there's lots of things you didn't expect. And the food wasn't nearly as good as it was over in, you know, the more, whatever, like, it was like a deserted island. I started missing my boyfriend a little bit because I was like, what am I doing here alone? This is super romantic.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. And then I think the main reason why I struggled a little bit was because I went diving, which I love scuba diving. I've dove all over the world. Mm-hmm. Absolutely one of my favorite things to do. And they have world-class diving there. And I did a dive with, a guy, and I got the worst ear infection. It happens to me quite often. I got swimmer's ear, and they didn't have proper antibiotics on the island. So I got sick. So I started being like, get me off, get me off, get me off. Cause you start thinking, my gosh, I'm in this place totally detached from civilization with a wicked bad ear infection. So bad. My mouth was swollen shut and no doctor. And it was like going south pretty fast. So just interesting how things can change just really quickly. So anyways, that was incredible. Highly recommend going, but just be cautious about a few things. There is that, you know, it is definitely not as built up as I expected it to be, which is, I think, why people love it so much.
There would certainly more highs than lows from what you've been telling us, from your Instagram posts.
Yeah. Like the Gili's was amazing, but now when I think about it, I loved the other areas so much more. And that's when things are so good, when things are just good. It's not that they were bad, it's just my ear infection was so bad. I could not sleep. I couldn't lay on my side. So I just remember laying there and being like, I need to get off this island because I need to go to a doctor and get proper medication. And all the call to prayer was super loud, so I couldn't sleep. And I'm trying to be like in the moment, and I'm thinking I have to get back on that boat and I'm going to get seasick. And I, you know, so just make sure you have proper meds for things like that. You know, if you're you get it, right? Just be prepared, because you might get stuck somewhere where it's not just as easy as running across the street to the pharmacy or having your creature comforts. But yes, amazing, incredible, awesome, beautiful place. But if I go back, it will be with my boyfriend so that I can enjoy the romantic part of all of that. And the diving was, no lie, it was probably the best dive I've ever done in my life.
So if the pit was your ear infection, what was the peak?
Of those islands, my dive. So what I've dove
into of the entire trip.
I think Ubud, just being there. Honestly, just being there. Like nothing other than just being there.
Yeah.
But so, I loved it.
I've just seen it. I've saw a t-shirt recently that said all about the
Yeah, exactly. Just the general sense of this, like the spirit of Bali, the vibe of it to me was exactly why I wanted to go. I wanted to feel that, and that was definitely my peak. But then just to end the trip off, I went over, got back on the fast boat where I didn't get seasick, thank goodness. But apparently that's a big thing too, and many people get seasick. And then I got off, and I had already prepaid for a shuttle. So a lot of people are wondering, well, how do you know where to go, what shuttles to take, what boats to take? Your Airbnb hosts and your drivers will line all this up for you. They know the best companies, and they will make sure that you're safe. So I always just book everything through wherever I'm staying at. So they had already had the shuttle and everything. I paid for it all lined up. So when I got off the boat from the Gili's over to Bali, there was a shuttle, and it was going to take me across the island over to Canggu, which is where I was going to spend the last 4 days of my trip. And my ear was so bad that when I got there, there's people all going, taxi, 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 like trying to take your business away from the shuttle because you've already paid for the shuttle. And this one lady walked up to me and she said, the shuttle is going to take you 3 to 4 hours to get across the island after all the stops and everything. And I can get you in a taxi and I can get you there in an hour. And I said, how much? And she said, 20,000 rupiahs, $20. I'm like, yeah, my face is swollen shut right now. I need to go see a doctor. Like, I will pay $2,000 right now. Yeah. I literally would have. So it's funny. It's like, you kind of get caught up. You get so cheap when you get to Asia. I know other people have told me and agreed with me is, you know, you agree. Sometimes you walk away from things over a dollar just because you get so in that bartering cheap mind frame.
That haggling and so, with people. And yes. Like, and when you walk away, like, I was just haggling over 50 cents.
Yeah, remember how mad I was when we were there about M&Ms? Like, I talked about it for like 2 days because I overpaid.
Yeah, overpaid by like a dollar.
So that's something else is really important for people is if you're doing this itinerary is probably wouldn't pay once you get off the island and you're going because there's not a lot going on that side of Bali on the East Coast. It's kind of grungy. Everybody, all the main spots are on the West Coast, which is where the airport is and all the main surfing beachy towns and whatnot. Don't pay for your return shuttle because once you're off that boat, you just want to get there. Just get a taxi when you get there. Get a private driver to bring you back over. It's cheaper and it's faster. And that was a little mistake that I made, but oh my God, whatever, $20, who cares? So I took a private driver over and then I got to my Airbnb and they're so friendly and so nice and they just want to talk to you and they want to know how you are and how your trip is. And he was lovely, drove me all the way across, dropped me off at my hotel, dropped my bags off. And I asked my Airbnb host, where's the best closest doctor? And I went straight to the clinic and I got, there's obviously tons of doctor's offices and everything all over the touristy areas, as we know. And I got some antibiotics for my ear and yeah, then it was good. Then I was in Canggu, which was awesome. Totally different than Ubud, coastal town, surfer, hippie vibe, major digital nomad culture there. So a lot of amazing places again to eat, the vegan lifestyle. It was just a lot of a big difference difference from Ubud, but just equally as amazing. And so if you look on a map of places to go in Bali, you know, you fly into Denpasar, and Kuta is the main city, which would be like maybe more like Bangkok. Crazy chaos, dirty, everybody just like says avoid that all day long. Some people really like it there because I think it's like, it's just crazy. But the more south you go, or sorry, the more north you go up the island, it gets quieter and quieter. So just north of Kuta is Seminyak, which I didn't visit, but that's supposed to be pretty nice there as well. Really great beaches, good shopping, lots to do. And I went just north of that called Shangu, which is a little bit more quiet, but oh, it was so good. I loved it there as well. So that's where I ended things. And then I flew home from there. So I really only focused on three areas, but I would say do all three of those all day long. They were so good. So yeah, that was my trip. And then I had to take the 30-hour flight home and got home and had some pretty wicked jet lag for a couple of days, but it was all worth it.
Well, it sounds like you had an amazing time, and I'm super jealous, just like everybody else was when they were seeing you were in Bali.
I know. I was so focused on getting a good suntan for when I came home, because you just want to, you know, come home and be tanned. Then it's like by the time you fly for a couple days, hunker down in your house and kind of just try to beat the jet lag, then kind of head back to the office. I'm like, where's your tan? I'm like, oh, I worked so hard on it.
Well, you didn't go for that really, did you, to be fair? It's a nicety, but you seem to have done a lot in the short amount of time that you were there for.
Yeah, and just, you know, it's everybody says, like, do you know the movie Eat, Pray, Love?
No.
Well, it's a really, really popular movie with Julia Roberts, and that's actually what sparked the tourism frenzy over to Bali was that movie, or the book, actually. And when I did talk to some locals in Ubud, I said, when did things get really crazy here? And they all say it was right after that movie, like 10-ish, over 10 years ago. And I would recommend you watch it. It's a really good movie. It's actually like one of the probably the more popular traveler. Oh, I can't believe you haven't watched it. You got to watch it or read the book. It's really good. So it is really funny what a movie or what a book can do for an entire island, country, town, city. It's the same as the beach in Thailand and Koh Phi Phi. Like that just got so busy and so crazy just because of that movie. So they said that it was Eat, Pray, Love that really sparked the culture and the visit, or the not the culture, sorry, sparked the travelers to visit that culture. So that was interesting as well. But long story short, I had a great trip. I can't wait to go back. It is probably a top contender for all places that I went. I knew that it would be. So all in all, it was just a really good trip. Everything happened seamlessly and I didn't spend lots of money. Like, to be honest, I don't think I spent more than $2,000 on that entire holiday. That's crazy. Wow. Yeah. Like really. And I got my, I left out the massages.
And for our British listeners, that's about 2,200. Sorry, £1,200.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly. And it's, and I went to the spa a few times. I ate really well. The massages are for 1 hour in Bali for a full Balinese massage is $10 Canadian dollars.
Crazy.
So it's, you know, well, you get it. That's, you just get massages every day or you go get foot reflexology. Yeah. But they do spa days there where they're so over the top that I got chocolate body scrub, flower bath. She's actually showering me, like washing me in the shower, which was a little bit much, but I was just going with it. Yeah. And
you have to, you have to be fully immersed in the culture.
Yes. To yeah, get like she's rubbing, yeah, like rubbing chocolate on my parts, like, everywhere. And I'm thinking, oh, this is a little weird, but I'm going with it. And they're just, oh my gosh, I'm in the flower bath and they're bringing me ginger tea and cut up papaya and pineapple and hearts. And while I'm in there, she's like massaging stuff into my hair and aromatherapy. And I was there for 6 hours and it was $75. I mean, you can't, it was beyond. So for smoothie bowls and massages alone, I'll be back to Bali. So
just yeah, for those things.
Yeah. I'm not even making it up. I would literally go back right now just for those two, to spend 12 days doing those just two things, eating smoothie bowls and getting cheap massages.
Wow. Fantastic.
And being around the people.
Of course.
But yeah. And of course there's so many more things to do. So now that I've gotten, you know, those three kind of, those are big touristy areas or big hot spots. Now I've got those things off, next time I go, I can just do a whole bunch of new things and I'm really excited about it. So other than that, I think that's a wrap on our basic Bali episode.
Basic Bali. Yeah.
Yeah.
definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, like I said, I'm super jealous and yeah, just.
And it's, you know, never say never, because how many episodes, like, or how many times have we talked and I was like, don't think I'm going to be traveling any more this year.
Well, it was a surprise to me when you called me and you're like, yeah, I'm going to Bali. Oh, when are you going? Sunday. And it was
Sunday.
Like,
yeah. I know. I said to my mom, can you watch? I was so nervous to tell my mom. You know what it's like? Like, my mom's always just like, oh, Courtney, you need to stay home and save your money. You know, she supports my traveling. But I was like, can you watch Layla? I think I'm going to go to Bali. And then again, she's like, well, when are you going on? And then I was like, on Sunday. It's
for everybody.
So, yeah, so funny. Cool. Also, I just want to, like, after going on this trip, there's a few things that I do want to admit to. It's okay to go on a holiday and not really love it, because I know we've mentioned this before. I'll always remember this trip for the rest of my life. There's a lot of things that happened to me on it, just, you know, spiritually and mentally and just inwardly, that I really, really, really needed. And I loved it. And it's going to always hold a special place in my heart. And I have nothing negative to say about that whole trip. Loved it. But when I was there, I was listening to our episodes that we haven't released yet that we're going to. I was not into my trip to Europe at all in May. Your wedding was a 10 out of 10. And that was probably my favorite wedding I've ever been to. But after that, when I hear myself talking about it, I was like, I wasn't into it. And you know what? That's okay. Like, okay. I think it's okay to admit as a traveler that sometimes certain trips just did not resonate with you. And after that holiday, I came back and I was like, I don't want to travel anymore. I'm done. And I wasn't, it was just not the best time for me. Like, I wasn't maybe in the best headspace. I didn't really enjoy being there alone. And the countries I visited too were awesome, but I really needed this trip to remind myself as to why I do this, why I love it, and why it's such an important part of my life. So that's kind of where I want to end off, is it's okay.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to end, actually, because that's so true.
Yeah, it's okay to not have, you know, every holiday doesn't have to be perfect. Sometimes life just throws you curveballs and, you know, you get sick or you get homesick or you don't love certain places. But Bali, no, I loved it. And I will be back. So yeah, that's a wrap on my end. Any other questions?
No, I think that's great. I think that's a wrap, Courtney. Thank you for sharing that. We will get these, like you just alluded to, we've got a few episodes that we need to kind of get out there now. I think we'll put there a lot of tips and tricks that you just shared for Bali. So we'll put those all in the show notes. And yeah, that's a wrap.
Okay, awesome. We'll talk to you very soon.
Speak soon. Bye.
Okay, bye.